Welcome back, podcast fans. I'm your host, Annette Hines, and this is Parenting Impossible, the Special Needs Survival Podcast. For those of you who have not been here before, who have not listened to an episode before, welcome, welcome, welcome to this podcast. Thank you for tuning in. I'm so glad you're here. Since this is your very first podcast episode, I want to introduce you a little bit to what this podcast is all about. I started this podcast over 4 years ago, and it is all about just trying to bring information to the disability community. Who is this podcast for? This podcast is not just for families, even though it says Parenting Impossible. I started out with that title as a little bit tongue-in-cheek, right? Because I am a parent. I'm a mom, first and foremost, of two girls who, one who is now grown up, Caroline. She is in her last year of college. Hopefully she will finish someday. We will see. It's been a long journey with her. And another daughter, Elizabeth, who has passed away from mitochondrial disease. My daughter Elizabeth had profound disabilities. Mito is different for everyone. It's a spectrum disorder, like so many that we know, whether it's autism or an intellectual disability. Like so many of you, your kids cannot be described by a label. And that was the same for Elizabeth. Very often, you know, people want to say, oh, I have X and it looks like this. And, you know, for us, you know, we just absolutely did not fall into that category. So what it looked like for Elizabeth was that, you know, for her, it profoundly impacts all of the systems of her body. She had a profound intellectual disability because she was a failure to thrive baby, which meant that she was a 29-week, 2-pound preemie, which complicated things, as you can imagine. Not all Mito kids look like that. She had the kind of Mito that was diagnosed as Lee's disease, but for her, they said it was Lee's-like disease because she had most of the symptoms of Lee's disease, but not all of them. She was diagnosed pretty early on in the Mito arena, so they were still figuring a lot of things out. And besides having a profound intellectual disability, she also had low vision, so she was legally blind, and her blindness came from, her issues with her brain damage and not from any issues with her eyes themselves. And some of you will understand what that means. In addition, she had all kinds of issues with her gut. So she had a G-tube. She was a wheelchair user. That happened pretty early on. And over time, many systems in her body started to fail. When she would get sick, things would just stop working and she would hit metabolic crisis and on and on. Doctors early on made all kinds of predictions for her, but after a while, they learned to stop doing that because she couldn't be predicted about. After the first couple of years, we had a couple of crises where we thought we were going to lose her, and then we didn't. She was a TPN user. We couldn't even feed her through her gut when she was a few years old. And so we had to do parenteral nutrition. So that was terrifying and horrifying as a child. And I promise I'm getting to a point that leads into what we're going to talk about today, which is back to school checklists. And eventually, I got really good at preparing for every new school year and prepping our team for what needed to come. So she actually stabilized for quite a few years before we had another downturn. And then the doctors and everybody stopped predicting her future. Unfortunately, in the end, when she hit her teenage years, things really took another slide down and we lost her at 17. We could not get our arms around all of the things that were going wrong. And there was just no getting our arms around all the things that were sliding. So we had to make the choice to stop care. And that was that. It was really the most horrifying thing that I've ever been through. And it's been almost 10 years. It'll be 10 years in November this year, actually. So that is why I do what I do. I'm a special needs attorney, and I advocate for families like ours, as well as individuals with disabilities. And we do planning, advanced planning, but also crisis advocacy as well. So this podcast came about as a way to continue to get information out to the community, because not everybody needs an attorney and not everybody can afford an attorney when they do need one. But what we all need, and what I needed so desperately in those years that I was raising my family, was information. Good information, the right information. And this podcast is one of the many ways that I send information, the right information, out into the community. So this podcast episode is one that I try to do every year on getting ready for back to school. So if you know anything about me, and if you are a returning podcast listener, thank you for coming back. You know I love a checklist. So I have a checklist for you. And this is all about getting ready for going back to school. And if you do not have a student, don't worry. This checklist is applicable to you as well. Everybody kind of takes hiatus during the summer, and we get energized and revitalized when it comes to fall. Even if you have an adult going to a program or in a residential supported program, many times you don't have your annual reviews or your ISPs, your individual service plans, or whatever you call it in your state. You know, nothing happens during the summer, but everybody wants to get back to your planning and your program paperwork, et cetera, setting goals in the fall. So this is something that you can apply no matter what situation you're in. So please listen in, no matter what state of your person's life you're in. So here we go. So the first thing that you want to do is pull out the old plan, dust it off, take a look at it. You want to review it. And if you can't find it, then you need to get your hands on it. If you are looking at it and you are someone who is caring for a person who has healthcare needs in addition to having just disability needs, look for the individualized healthcare plan in addition to the disability plan. The IEP should also have an IHP, an individualized healthcare plan as well. What is that? That is going to address the specific healthcare issues on top of the educational issues. And those in an adult service plan will be incorporated into the goals. Does it have the most up-to-date treatment information, medication list, and doctors? That's something that I always cared about. If your child or the adult that you are caring for has changed programs, schools, buildings, classrooms, does it need to be adapted for the new location, schedule, etc.? For example, if you have moved from a self-contained classroom to an integrated classroom, or from a program that is, you know, self-contained, or to an adult program that has any kind of component that's out in the community, there is going to be very different considerations. And a lot has changed now that things are opening up again, now that we are back out in the community. So many of you are looking at very different goals and very different situations now. So your old plan is probably going to need a lot of updating. So many of you may have collected new information over the summer. Maybe this was the time that you took advantage to get evaluations or see specialists or have some elective procedures done, like, oh, you know, this was the perfect time to have those adenoids out, or, you know, do, I don't know what, but you know what I'm talking about. Maybe you had some testing done. Even as an adult, this is the time when, you know, there was some downtime. Up here in the Northeast, for many of you all over the country, you have better weather. So I know this was the time when I chose to have Elizabeth's hip surgery done, because having her in a cast was going to be easier when I had her lying around, in not having to dress her as much. So it was just going to be easier to be able to do it in the summer. So sometimes it's difficult, whether you're in a school program or an adult service program, to feel comfortable sharing information with your school district or with your service program, because we don't always have the best relationships or the most trusting relationships. I totally get that. I'm with you. But it is important to share any new diagnoses or any new reports or evaluations. If you don't, you are not going to be able to advance those new goals or to be able to get on the same page when you want to request new funding or the next piece of equipment or whatever it is that you are shooting for this time around. So how did things go, whether you are speaking of a student or whether you're talking about an adult learner? How did things go over the summer? Maybe your person has spent some significant time with you. Maybe you've traveled. Maybe they've done a summer program. You are the glue. You are the caregiver. You are the parent. You are the linchpin. You are the one who has to share the progress notes between, you know, different programs, whether it is the same
residential program or the same school that they're coming back to, you want to make sure that you're noting any new healthcare difficulties or anything that you're seeing. Maybe in the residential program, there's been a lot of vacations, there's been change in staffing. You want to stay on top of what's been going on over the summer, and you want to make note of that. If maybe you've been traveling with your person and you've noticed some things and you want to bring that back to the program, maybe you've been trying some new things. If we're talking about a student, getting back to students and getting ready for the fall, how did things go at summer camp or summer program? Have there been any healthcare difficulties? Did anything go particularly well that you can integrate into the new educational setting?
Stay with us. We'll be right back.
Hey, everybody. Have you been searching for a law firm that understands the unique challenges of your family? We can help. My name is Annette Hines, and I'm a mom and an attorney. And I'm also an advocate. And I started Special Needs Law Group because when my family was young, I struggled to find all the services and support that my family needed. We can help here at Special Needs Law Group with special needs trusts, guardianships, and maybe you aren't even sure what you need yet, and we can help with that too. Book a free call today. You can either use our link in the show notes, or you can go to www.specialneeds-law.com. See you soon. Don't count on the fact that those notes or that progress is going to be shared between settings automatically. You're going to need to be the one that brings that forward from setting to setting. You need to keep the school staff informed. You're going to need to keep the residential staff informed. Meet with the teacher, meet with the school nurse, meet with the residential staff, and discuss all of the above that we just talked about. The more comfortable they are with your child's issues or your person's issues, the less conflict that you are likely to have throughout the next year. It's just that simple. So school personnel they're just often very worried about what they think that they don't know. And they're very often worried about risk and liability. And that's true of residential programs, of adult service programs, of day programs, just you name it, any program that serves a vulnerable population. So the more relaxed and forthcoming you can be, the better. That does not mean that you should not be thoughtful about what you say and how you say it. I am advocating for you to be very thoughtful and very planned in your communication. For sure. And we are going to talk about that very shortly. So it's very difficult sometimes for parents and caregivers to feel comfortable sharing information. You know, we're going to talk about that again, because given the natural conflict that can arise with school districts, with government agencies, with any caregiving situation, they have the power to provide support that you need, that your person needs. And very often, you're not getting enough. I mean, that's just the natural conflict, right? I advocate for smaller and less formal meetings that can be more conducive, more comfortable to help you achieve your goals. Now, if you
recall the last couple of podcasts that I had, and I really advocate for you to go back and listen to the last couple of podcast episodes as we've been leading up to this episode. Listen to the podcast that I just did with Peter in my office, Peter Morin. He talked about how to work with state agencies. The podcast before that, where we talked about reading strategies with Susan Kahn, and she talked a little bit about advocacy as well, and how to get a reading program in your school. And it's really important that advocacy, it starts with the small things, and it starts in a less formal place. And this is what I'm talking about. Advocacy starts with that informal conversation in a comfortable way, and that can help you achieve your goals. So here are some common issues that you can discuss. So if we are talking about medical issues, you can, you know, be discussing things like, and this is where I was at, you know, how accessible is the nurse? What is he or she allowed to do for your child? You know, asking questions is really more about, you know, just, can I have some information rather than dictating what you must do for me? It's more about, oh, so how do things work here? And that is very helpful. It's a different approach than, you know, I need this, you must do this for me. And if you think about it, coming at this from a, okay, so can you just tell me how things work around here? You know, what is your policy? How, you know, what can I expect from you? What, you know, where do things go? How are things? Think about it more like a job. You wouldn't walk into a new job and say, where's my scissors? Where are my pens? Why didn't you set my desk up this way? You would say, hey, where do you keep the pens? You know, where's the supply closet? Where's the bathroom? You know, that sort of thing. So if you think about it that way, it's a little bit of a softer approach, right? And then after you find out all this information, then maybe that gives you a way in to make some suggestions. So what is the nurse or the aide allowed to do for your child? Are they allowed to do G-tube feedings, blood sugar checks, issue medications, that sort of thing? Who's allowed to, you know, use the EpiPen? Who's trained to use the EpiPen? That sort of thing. But you don't come at it and say, you know, you must do this when my child has a seizure or when my child has an allergic reaction. You say, oh, so what is your policy about? Who is allowed to do this? Where do, you know, where do you want me to store this? Where do the backpacks go? Where do the EpiPens go? You know, that sort of thing. And that's just very helpful. And if they say something that just doesn't work, like, oh, you know, here's where you have to store X, but it's medication that needs to be refrigerated, you can say, oh, well, what do you do with medication that needs to be refrigerated? Not, you can't do that. My medication needs to be refrigerated. No, it's, oh, okay, that's great. What do you do with medication that needs to be refrigerated? Assuming they would never want you to put the medication that needs to be refrigerated over there in the cubby, you know? And sometimes I do something like, oh, well, I'm just really confused. That doesn't make sense to me. Can you just tell me a little bit more about that? Or can you, you know, just give me some more information? That doesn't make sense, et cetera. You know, so I just dig a little deeper that way. If you have your own aid or nurse or someone that's contracted to come in with your child, you know, what are the rules around that? And that if you are in an adult service setting, that is almost certainly not going to be the case. I have never found that they are generally accepting of having outside providers in an adult service setting, but sometimes in school settings, that is the case. But there's often a lot of rules and policies around contracting for that. So you need to find out how the contracts are going to go and what the liability situation is for that. And you just need to make sure that all of those things are in order. And then, you know, most importantly, in either an adult service setting or in a new setting, a new school setting, or even whether this is the same setting that you've been in, but there's been a changing of the guard, or you're in the same setting, but you want to address it freshly. It's all about the communication. How are we going to share communication? This is the number one issue that I will say almost every family, every caregiver that I work with, literally complains about or has a comment about. And that is how they share or receive information from care providers across the board of their loved ones. So this is a good time to address that with care providers, whether it's in a school setting, a new school setting, the same school setting, an adult service setting, whether it's residential or whether it is a day program setting. It's time to take a fresh look at how are we communicating? How are we sharing information, whether it's about healthcare issues or whether it's about how they're spending their day, how are they working on their goals, et cetera. Most of the time, it's going to be some form of written communication because phone calls are hard, right? And, you know, some people are going to want to do an email weekly. Some people are going to want to send a notebook back and forth, but it's going to be some agreed upon method of communication between the parties. And maybe even your person is going to have some responsibility for participating in this role as well. You may just want to have a checklist where you check off that certain things get done, or maybe you're somebody who wants a lot more information filled in. I'm just going to say be reasonable about the time that has to be expended on this task, and really just try to understand exactly what do you need to know, what is important to you that you really want to get information on, and make sure that you're not overburdening the care provider, depending on the setting. If you are going into a new program, whether it's a school setting or whether it is a new program setting, it's really important to door and to take a look at any possible obstacles. Now, you are, depending on the program, you're gonna run into certain kinds of blocks. Okay. If you're going to tour a new school, there is no problem with that. You will be able to take a tour of the school, depending on whether they're open or not. And you can look and see certain things like if your child is a wheelchair user or has mobility issues, certainly you're going to be looking for things like elevators. Yes, there are still a lot of schools that don't have elevators. Are the classrooms spaced well? Are they going to need to move from place to place? Where is the nurse located? Again, you know, are you looking for the nurse's office, special medications? Where are the medications being kept? How do they do things like discipline? Where are children removed to if they are removed from the classroom? What are the emergency procedures in case of fire and crisis? Things like that. And, you know, just checking out the physical location, et cetera. So if you are checking out a new residential placement or a new day program for an adult, you're going to run into a lot of issues around privacy of the other residents and the other folks that go to the program. So you're going to have to work that out about when you can go and see the program. And that is going to vary from program to program and from state to state. Okay. When all else fails and you are having a problem communicating, ask for a meeting. Whether it's a team meeting, an IEP meeting for school, or whether it's a, you know, an informal or a formal meeting under regulations for an adult program, some situations do require more formality and they need to be on the record. And that's just the fact of it. And look, if you need help, bring a friend to the meetings with you. Sometimes having a second person to take notes or to hear what you're hearing, because we can be very emotional sometimes. And it can really help to have somebody else there to not just support us, but to also just, you know, write a few things down for us and help kind of keep the situation toned down. Sometimes asking a clinical staff or a therapeutic staff to participate or another professional to participate in the meeting with us. I know that can be costly sometimes, but many of us have a person in our child's life and our adult child's life who has just gone to bat for us. God bless those people who are willing to just be there for us and who will go to a meeting. A lot of times we can meet virtually now and that person can show up for 15 minutes from their office and they don't have to travel for 2 hours to be at a meeting and can be supportive that way. And lastly, you know, hire an advocate or an attorney. Yes, that does ratchet up the conflict potential for these meetings, but sometimes you just need to do it when all else fails. So that's what I have to say about getting ready for fall and setting goals and getting prepared, making sure that you have your checklist checked off. And I hope that you feel prepared and that you are able to get your plan in place. I do have a checklist that I will throw out there for you. If you are in our Facebook group, our Circle of Care, the checklist is there. So go ahead and grab it. And listen, if you haven't heard already, we are going to be moving to our very own space. I am super excited about it. It will be happening in the next about 4 to 6 weeks. We're moving to Mighty, where we can have our own app, our own program, all of our courses and our coaching programs and our blogs and everything is moving onto one platform. Yay! I'm just beyond belief excited about it. So you'll be hearing more and more about that.
So thank you all for being here. Thanks for being a loyal listener, and hope you have a great week. Bye now.
Hey, everybody. Thanks for tuning in. I just wanted to take a second to say how much I appreciate you taking the time to listen to these podcasts. I'm having a blast doing them, and I hope that you're finding the content to be what you were really hoping. If you are, please take a second to leave a rating and a review. It's so helpful in getting this content out to people who really need to hear it. Thank you so much.